Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Aleph. We begin 6 or 7 lines down from the top. Lamed Aleph is a short Daf. We begin at the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us the following din. Hameniach peros lios mafrish alein truma o maisos. A person is going off on a business trip, and he doesn't know where and when and how he'll be able to go and take off trumas and maisos when he goes on the business trip, because he doesn't want to have anybody to distribute them to. He doesn't want to have to hold on to them. So he says, I'm leaving peros in my house. I'm leaving vegetables, produce, whatever in my house, and they are tevel. And whenever I go and take new fruit that needs to have trumas and maisos taken from it, I will go and be mafrish from the produce that I have in my house on the produce that I have. That will turn the produce that I have right now no longer to tevel, but it'll be chulin, and I won't have to have trumas and maisos to distribute. And the trumas and maisos that are chal on this will be back in the house. When I get back home, I'll go and take those trumas and maisos and distribute them to the proper kohen and levi. And that's what Rashi tells us over here in Dibur Maaseh L'Minyach. He says, Somech al elu. He's going to rely upon the fruits that he has back in his house. When he's on his business trip, he won't have to worry about taking off the trumas and maisos physically. He'll rely upon that which he has in the house. V'ocho tvolim acherim sheyeshlo. He'll take the tevel that he now has and be able to eat it, because he'll say, "Yomer harei trumason bioson peros shehiktsisi lekach." The fruits and vegetables, the produce that I had left in the house, that's where the trumas and maisos will come from. V'chein oseh tamid, and this he does it all the time. He doesn't have to worry about where he's going to give the truma and maisos that he takes off. He won't be burdened by having little bits of trumas and maisos. It will be in the house. When he comes back, he'll go give that to the kohen and to the lady. Now, obviously, this raises a major question, especially that we had yesterday's year, that you have to take min hamukaf. So Tosus asks this, in Dibur Maaseh L'Minyach, towards the bottom of the daf, Tosus says, when are you allowed to do this? Don't you have to take off min hamukaf? So he says, we're dealing here b'arvei shabbosos. He's talking about Friday afternoon, when you're allowed to take off not min hamukaf, and yontif, an erev yontif. Ayri, that's what we're talking about. The share shalom min hamukaf in these situations. Alternatively, he has no other option. There is no way for him to do it min hamukaf. So then, b'di'evit, if you do it shalom min hamukaf, it is acceptable. But nobody would l'chatchila do this unless they were stuck. This guy is somewhat stuck. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. You're allowed to do this. Now, you're not at home. How do you know that those vegetables, those produce, the fruits that you have there are still extant, and that you can actually now be mafrish on the understanding that the trumas and maisos will come from those fruits? So the Mishnah tells us that you're allowed to do this. Hameniach peros leos mafrish aleim trumas and maisos, you're allowed to do so. Likewise, if you have maisos sheni and you want to redeem it back on the funds that you have in the house, so mos, you have designated funds in your house, leos mafrish aleim maisos sheni. Now you'll take off the maisos sheni and you'll deconsecrate it on the money that you have in the house. So one is allowed to do so with the chazaka that the fruits that you have there, the produce that you have there, the money that you have there is still extant. Mafrish aleim b'cheska shein kayamim. You are allowed to rely upon the chazaka. They were present when you left, that they're still present right now. And as long as they are still present right now, all the trumas and maisos that you took off, the redemption of the maisos sheni, is all perfectly good. However, the Mishnah says, what happens if you go and check the im avdu? Rashi says, holach le'badkon, you go now back to your house to go to see, are those fruits and vegetables still there? Is the money still there? Umitzon she'avdu, and you see that they're no longer there. Now, when did they no longer cease to exist? So the Mishnah tells us, the Tana Rabbi Elazar, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. So he tells us that you have to go back in time. Now, what does this mean? So Rashi points out, the Gemara will explain this. The two explanations the Gemara will give us. One is that you just go back 24 hours from that moment in time. So let's say it's Tuesday at 10 p.m. that you see that the produce aren't there, so you have to go back to Monday at 10 p.m. Anything that you were mafrish between Monday 10 p.m. and Tuesday 10 p.m., that didn't have trumas and maisos taken from it, and you'll have to go and retake them. You have to be mafrish new trumas and maisos, assuming that you haven't eaten them. But if you didn't eat them and they're still there, so you now have to retake off trumas and maisos. That will be the first opinion. The second opinion says, not the last 24 hours. You have to go back all the way to the time that you placed it there. And you're allowed to say for the first 24 hours it still was there. But then after that, all the trumas and maisos that you took after the first 24 hours, not after the last 24 hours, but any of the trumas and maisos that you took after the first 24 hours, a suspect that already it was taken, it was lost from there, and therefore you'd have to retake them again if those fruits and vegetables are still present. Okay, we'll see this more in the Gemara. Then the Mishnah concludes and says, Rav Yehuda Omer, Bishlosha Prokim Bo Kines Hayayin. There are three times during the year that you have to go and check the wine to see if it has become chometz, if it has become vinegar. Because if you want to be mafrish this wine on that wine, so they both have to be wine. You're not allowed to be mafrish vinegar on wine, because that's min hara al hatova, and b'di'evet it would be yotzi, but l'chatchili you're not allowed to do that. So you can't be mafrish something that's bad on something that's good. So that's the simple understanding. Alternatively, it's because the chometz and the yayin are two different species, so therefore you can't be mafrish apples on oranges, so too you can't be mafrish vinegar on wine. Okay, that's a review that tells us. So there you have to check to see, am I dealing with wine or am I now dealing with vinegar? So three times during the year, you have to go check. The rest of the time, you can presume that it still is wine. What are the three times? So the first one is Bikidum Shel Motzei HaChag. Rashi explains, Bikidum is a certain wind known as the Ruach Kodim. So when that wind blows, we'll see that's an easterly wind, Kishim Menasheves Ruach Kodim B'Motzei HaChag, at the conclusion of the Chag. Chag is always meaning Sukkot. So when the wind from the east blows, Matzei Sukkis, so then that's when you have to be concerned that maybe the wine has turned to vinegar, and you better check it before you mafresh anything on behalf of that, quote, wine, because maybe it's not wine, maybe it's turned to vinegar. The second time you have to check is Behotzas Smodar. So Rashi tells us, what time is this? This is when the leaves start blossoming on the grapes. Kosum Perach V'anovov Nirin B'eshkol Kisidron. This is when the flower starts to come out, and the grape is starting to be seen on the cluster of grapes. That's the normal fashion. At that point in time, you have to go check the wine to make sure that it's not turned into chometz. And the third period of time is Ubishas Kinisas Mayim Beboser, at the time that you add water to the boser. Rashi has two interpretations of this, in the Ramas Ubishas Kinisas. So the first one is Kishehain Kipul Halava, when there are certain size is like a white bean. So Nikra and Boser, at that point the grape is called Boser. Ukishilachluchis nichneses ugdela besocho, when the juice inside it starts to really become significant. Shiocholatsum, and there's enough juice inside that you could actually press it, kolshu, and something will come out. Hainu Knesis Mayim. That's called the Knesis Mayim, and at that point in time you have to go and check to see if the wine is turned to vinegar. Alternatively, Rashi says, Lishnachrina, Hayukotshin Hanovin. They would go and crush the grapes when they were in this stage, Kishen Boser, at this early stage called Boser, and they would add water to it. Vinosa Lasolchon Mayim, Vinasin Chomets Latival, and they would make vinegar over here for the purposes of dipping. And at this point in time, that's the third point, you have to go check to see that the wine has not turned into Chomets. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Gemara starts off and asks the question that I already answered to a certain extent. The opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemuel, the Tana Rabbi Elazar, who said in our Mishnah, if you had designated those fruits and vegetables, and now you come home and you see that they were lost, im abdu, so you have to go me'eis le'eis. So the two opinions, what is this my me'eis le'eis? So the first opinion is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan amar, me'eis le'eis shol bedika. It means from the time that you found it, you now found that they're not there. At 10 p.m. on Tuesday night, you see that they're not there. So you have to go back 24 hours. You go back to Monday night at 10 p.m. And anything that you were mafrish during this period of time, as Rashi says, you now find it and Matzin Avudin at 10 p.m. on Tuesday night. So Hoshe Shemami Esmol Ba'isazos Ovdu. Already at this time on Monday night at 10 p.m., you have to assume that it's no longer there. It was lost then. You don't have to assume it was lost before then. Just in the last 24 hours, you have to presume it was lost. And therefore, any Trumas and Mises that you took with the assumption that these produce were still here in the last 24 hours, from 9 p.m. Monday, I'm sorry, from 10 p.m. Monday till 10 p.m. on Tuesday, v'im oson meiser toch mei sleis ze'al peres acherim. So any fruits that you had as tevel and you undertook that they were mufresh trumas and meisers based upon the fruits that you had in your house, so tzorach lafresh aleihem misopik. You have to go now and take. Maybe they're really were still the fruits were present then, but maybe they were not. So again, al sofik, you have to go take off trumas and meisers again. Utveni hachilo achmor rabbonon. But more than 24 hours to go back beyond 10 o'clock Monday night, to say 10 o'clock Sunday night, 10 o'clock on Motzei Shabbos, no, the rabbis didn't do this. Ela samchinon achazaka. They relied upon the chazaka, and you don't have to go back any further than that. That's the first opinion. The aslays is the last 24 hours from the time that you checked, and it's not there. Go back 24 hours. Any trumas and meisers during that period of time, al sofek, you have to go and retake them again. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Then we have the second opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Antignos, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Elazar ben Yannai. Rabbi Elazar ben Antignos said over the name Rabbi Elazar ben Yannai, and returned to Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. He says, not the last 24 hours, it's the first 24 hours. So you put it down the week before on Monday at 10 a.m. So when you put it down on Monday at 10 a.m., so you go till Tuesday 10 a.m., anything that you took off during that first 24-hour period of time, we can assume those Trumas and Maisos are good because it still was extant. And only after the first 24 hours do we have to be concerned, now that you find it im avdu, that it was already lost from that point and on. So only the first 24 hours are any Trumas and Maisos you took okay. After that, anything that's still extant, you have to go retake Trumas and Maisos on it. Okay, these are the two opinions. Gemara says, this last opinion from Elazar ben Antignos is questionable because our Mishnah seems to indicate otherwise. So now we learned that our very Mishnah, it says, im avdu, if you now go back to your house and you see that the produce isn't there or the coins aren't there, so then you have to be concerned, to raise a choshesh, you have to be suspicious, only may a slays in the past 24 hours. Our Mishnah seems to say, may a slays from now go back 24 hours. Now, that works out great, according to Rav Yochanan. Vishlom l'man d'yom ha-mi a slays shel bedika. All you have to do is go back 24 hours. When you find it at 10 p.m. on Tuesday night, you just go back to 10 p.m. on Monday night, and you're good. So shop here. That works out very well. The language in our Mishnah works out very, very well because it says, Hareza Choshes May Eis Leis, from now, Tuesday, 10 p.m., Leis, to the 24 hours before that. That works out great. Rav Yochanan seems to fit in very well with the Mishnah. But not so for Rilazar ben Antignos. But according to Elulamandi Omar, but according to Rilazar ben Antignos, who said that you go back to the original 24 hours, so let's say you found it, you place it there on Monday at 10 a.m., so until Tuesday 10 a.m., it's good, but beyond that, it's not good, so then why did it say May Eisleis? The more questions, hi, May Eisleis? Should it have said May Eisleis? It should have said Ad may a slays me boyle. It should have said up until the first 24 hours. If Rabbi Elazar ben Antignos is right, the language should have been may a slays. The language should have been ad may a slays. And therefore, kasha, it's a little bit difficult for Rabbi Elazar ben Antignos. As we pointed out many times, when the Gemara uses the lashon of kasha, it doesn't mean that it's irrefutable. There is an answer, but the Gemara, for whatever the reason, chooses not to give it, and there is an answer. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah. They said this was the opinion of the Tana, Rabbi Elazar. This is the Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, as Rashi points out over here. I always tell you, we're now going to have the Amora, Rabbi Elazar. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos. And for me, this works out very well. I've said this mnemonic in the past. If you like it, fine. If you don't, then that's fine also. So the Amora, Rabbi Elazar Pedos, is younger than the Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. So the way I remember it is, Shemua is a shin or an S type of a sound, and that's for sage, for the older type of Talmud Chacham. And Pedos, the P, is for pediatrics. That's like the younger person. So the way I always remember which Rabbi Elazar is which is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, that's the S for sage, that's the older, the Tana, and Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos, the P, is for pediatrics, that is the Amora. No, if you like it, fine, it works for me. In any event, the Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos, says, Chalukin olav chaverim al Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, the Tana, that his chaverim, the other Tanaim, didn't agree with Rabbi Elazar from our Mishnah, and they disagreed in the following fashion, because it says, the Tanan, we learned in another Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that we have in Mikvos. And this Mishnah tells us, Mikvah shenimdat, if you go and measure a mikvah, and now you see that it doesn't have 40 saw. Mikvah must be 40 saw. That's a shir halach l'mosh misina midaraisa. If it doesn't have 40 saw, it's not a kosher mikvah. Now, you measure this mikvah, and wait a second, you see it only has 39.9 saw. So it's therefore v'nimsa chaser. It's now found to be missing that essential full amount, and therefore anybody that went in there to be tovel, who was tameh, or any kli that you put in there that was tameh, and you thought it was tahar, kol taharos, everything, people and utensils, shenasu agabav l'mafreya, bein birshus hayochid, bein birshus harabim tmeos. So anything that went to that mikvah is not considered tar, the person or the utensils. And this is true, whether this was birshus hayochid, birshus harabim, which we know we have a famous rule, bein birshus hayochid, bein birshus harabim. So it tells us, normally we say birshus hayochid, sofik tumah birshus hayochid is tameh, but sofik tumah birshus harabim normally say is tar. So Rashi points out that that's not true over here. Why is that? So let's see inside the Rashi. Rashi tells us, "Bein the mikvah b'shus hayochid, the kind alone sofik tumah b'shus hayochid sveiko tamei." So that's easy to understand why we say that that one is tamei. But bein b'shus harabim, which we normally say the kind alone sveiko tar. So how come over here hocha tamei? Why? Because the chi amrinon sofik tumah b'shus harabim is tar. When do we say that if it's a sofik of tumah in the b'shus harabim, we say that it's tar? We learned that out from Sota, which is, of course, the last Masechta we learned. Hainu sofik noga, sofik lo noga. That's only in a situation where the person didn't have a cheskas of being tame. He was tar. And now, did he or did he not touch the tame item? So if it was in Rishus HaYoch, we say sveiko tame. But if it's in Rishus HaRabim, we say sveiko tar. And we learned that out from Sota. So here, in that situation, the ikal lemeimar lo noga. It's possible he never touched it, and his chazaka of being tahor remains. And that's why sofik tumah b'rishus harabim, sveiko noga, sveiko lo noga, in that situation, we say sofik tumah b'rishus harabim, sveiko tahor. Avozeh, this person or this keli, was tamei vadai. Zesh yo tamei vadai. The atabo letaro, betvila sofik. And now you want to say, maybe it was toiled properly before the mikveh became chaser. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe the person or the utensil was toiled properly, or maybe it wasn't. Al titaren misofik. That you don't have the right to do. So therefore, the bottom line is that the colleagues of the Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Shabuah, all disagreed with him. In our Mishnah, he says you only have to worry about mi'es la'es, whatever that meant, like Rabbi Yochanan or like Rabbi Elazar ben Antiag knows, but it's certainly going to be sometimes okay. Whereas in this Mishnah from Mikvos, the Chaverim of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua said it's always Tameh. So clearly, the Tanoim Chaverim of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, as shown in this Mishnah in Mikvos, disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua in our Mishnah. So that is what the Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, said. Gemara says, Pshita, the Chalukin, obviously they're arguing with him. What else would you think? It's a Beferish Mishnah that says they're arguing with him. So why would you think that they're not arguing with him? Why does an Amora have to come along and tell us the obvious? So he says, not so obvious. Ma'al detema, if I didn't have this statement of Rabbi Elazar Pedos telling us the Chalukin of Chaver of Al-Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, the Tana, if I didn't have Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos, the Amora, saying this, you know what it would have said? What does it mean when it says here in the Mishnah Mikvos, my limafreya, when it said kol tarish and nasu agabov limafreya tomeos, what does that mean? It means me'es la'es. I would have thought it meant that in the last 24 hours, they're considered tame. But before that, they're considered tar. That's what I might have thought. Therefore, kamash v'lan. So the chiddush of the Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, to tell us that the chaverim of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua disagree with him. That's this chiddush, that not only is it me'es la'es, but they totally disagree with him. They say, under all circumstances, you can't remove this sofek of whether the tefillah was good or not in this situation under any circumstance. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah. It said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Begimul Prakim V'chule. There were three times during the year that a person had to go and make sure that the wine was still wine, that you're not mafrish it against other wine, when in fact this may be vinegar, and you're not allowed to be mafrish vinegar against wine, as we pointed out, either because it's minara al hayofe, which you're not allowed to do, or because it's two separate species, and you can't be mafrish apples and oranges. Now, Tana, we learned the following braisa, Bikidum shel motzei achag shel tkufa. It expands a little bit on the Mishnah. The Mishnah just said that the first time period you have to go check is when the eastern wind blows after Sukkot. And here in the Brice it is Shel Tekufa. What does it mean, Shel Tekufa? So Rashi says, Im kvar niknasa tekufas Tishrei. If it's already the season of Tishrei, this would be the fall. So if it's already the fall, then this din applies, that the wine will turn to vinegar and you have to go check it. But I will im moshcha tukufas tamuz adkan. But if it's still the summer season, then lo. Then you don't yet have to be worried that the wine turned to vinegar. Now, how could this possibly be? How could you have Sukkot come and it's not the end of the summer and it's not yet fall? Well, that's the question the Top Tosis asks. The second line in the Top Tosis says, Vim Tomar, Vayevshar, Shentim Shoch adkan. How could it possibly be that the summer extends till the end of Sukkot? So, Kedarina Perikam of the Sanhedrin, the Bo'ina mixes a chag with Tekufa Chadasha, that by definition, some of Sukkot has to be in the next Tekufa. So, Tosus answers, Yeshlamar, the Amar Hasam, the Gemara in Sanhedrin explained, the Al Tekufa Levado Ein Mavirin. No, it could be that if it's just because of the seasons, that they wouldn't necessarily be Mavir the month, and therefore it is possible that this could happen, albeit rarely. Bottom line is, the Braisa says that you need this set of circumstances, that the eastern wind is blowing after Sukkot, when Sukkot is in the fall season and not still in the summer season. Fine. Tanya, we learned in another Braisa, Reb Yehuda Omer, Reb Yehuda tells us, Begimul Prakim Mochrin Es HaTfuah. At 3 times during the year, they would go and sell the tefuah. We'll see in a moment what the nafkamin is. Why can't you sell tefuah at any time during the year? So we'll see this is specifically a din in terms of partnerships. In any event, during the 3 times of the year, you're allowed to go and sell the tefuah. Number one, see, is lefnei hazera, before you go and seed it. Number two is bishas hazera, at the time that you seed it. Tosus says, this is the same time. In Tosus Diva Maskel, lefnei hazera, or bishas hazera, so Tema says, I don't understand. The cause of perek echa, this is the same period of time. Bein hefsek, bein lefnei hazera, lishas hazera. There's no real difference between right before the planting and the planting. That's one time, so to say. So Tosus answers, Yesh lomar, the bishas hazera, when it says during the time of the planting, it means hu sof hazera. Shekvar Zaru Kol Ma Sheyolhem. So it means it's after the planting season. Nischasulhem Shloyolhem Kol Etzorach. And there was just missing a little bit of something over here. Apparently it wasn't fully done. So in any event, those are the first two time periods. Bilfnei Hazera, Ubishas Hazera, and then Ubifros HaPesach. Bifros HaPesach means some period of time before Pesach. Often it means 15 days before Pesach, some period of time before Pesach. The Brisa continues and says, "Ubishlosha prokmin, another 3 times in the year, mochrin sayayin, you're allowed to go sell the wine." Again, Gemara will ask in a moment, what do you mean? You can't sell the wine the rest of the time? It's only these times you can sell the wine? So again, there'll be a nafkamina in terms of partnerships. So the first time is before Osa Pesach, at this halfway point before Pesach. Again, normally we say Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag, so 30 days before Pesach. So Biprosa Pesach means 15 days before Pesach. And likewise, Ubiprosa Atzeres, 15 days before Atzeres. Atzeres is always Shavuos. It doesn't mean Shemini Atzeres. In the Gemara, Chag always means Sukkis, and Atzeres always means Shavuos. So 15 days before Shavuos, likewise, is the time that they go sell the wine. And the third time is Ubiprosa Achag. Means 30 days before the Chag, 30 days before Sukkot, so that is called Bifros HaChag. So these 3 time periods is when they would normally sell the wine. And then finally, this Brisa concludes and says, Vishemen, the oil, when would they sell the oil? Me'atzeres ve'eloch. That they would sell from Shavuos and afterwards and beyond, so that's the time that they would normally go and sell the oil. Now, the Gemara asks the obvious question, why is Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, telling us all of these dinim? After all, you can sell whatever you want, whenever you want it. There's no isser to sell the tefuah, begin with prakim, mochas the tefuah. You're not allowed to sell it the other times. And b'shol shiprakim, mochas the siyayin. You're not allowed to sell it the other times. And shemen, you only sell it after shavuos. You're not allowed to sell it before shavuos. So Gemara says, I'm a rabbi, v'tem rapapa, either rabbi or rapapa said, this din is for l'shutvin. This is in regards to partnerships. As Rashi says, diva masa l'shutvin, she'ein ha'echa yochel limkor shelo midas chavero. One partner cannot force the other partner to sell, can't sell without the other partner's agreement, except chutz l'prakim alolu, except during these time periods. Why during these time periods? Because this is the time period that usually the prices are the highest. They usually go down at other points in the year. So these are the high points in prices. And therefore, one partner can sell even without the other partner's knowledge or permission at this point in time. At these times, you don't have to go and ask permission because that's the high prices. And therefore, mistama, he will agree. And therefore, v'imachar, v'nisyaker hashar li acharzman. And therefore, the nafkamin of this is that when you sold, when you're allowed to sell it even without permission. And then, since normally the prices are the highest then, should it so happen that the prices weren't the highest then and they actually go up afterwards, ain olav klum. The other partner can't sue you, can't take you to court for selling too early. No, you sold it at the right time. Aye, the prices happen to now be higher afterwards. That's no fault of your own, and you had the halachic right to sell it, and therefore, l'shutvin, the purpose of this din and this brisa to tell us that when you can go and sell the wheat, and when you go and sell the wine, and when you sell the oil, is for this din of the shutvin. Nadigbar says, Mikan vo'elech mai. What about after these periods of time? Can one partner sell it without the other partner's permission? So the Gemara says, I'm a rabbi, yes. Kol yoma pirkehu. All these days after that are also called pirkehu. Rashi says, Zumano limkar, a time when it's acceptable to sell. I don't know if there's an end point over here because there were 3 points in time, so it can't be after the first time you're allowed to sell it, or else you wouldn't have to tell me the second and the third point. It must be that for some period of time after the first time, it's still considered the pirkeh, and then it stops being the pirkeh. And then there's the second period of time, and for some period of time after that, it's also called the pirkeh, and then it stops being the pirkeh, and then there's a third period of time, and after that, there's also the time that you can sell it without having to get permission from your partner. Okay. Then we quote an additional din. Once we started talking here about wins, we'll spend the rest of today's shir until we get to the end of this perek, at the end of this daf, really start of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. So we'll talk a little bit about the winds. I got it to type Gemara's. So first we quote a pasuk from Yonah towards the last parak. There are only four parakim in Yonah. We read them, of course, on Yom Kippur by Mincha time. And it says, "Vayhi kizroach hashemesh." It came to be that when the sun was shining in the sky, "Vayeman Elokim ruach kodim charishis." Hashem appointed over here a easterly wind that was charishis. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean? My charishis. What does the word charishis mean? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Amoru Rabbi Yehuda, tells us it means Bishah Shemin HaShevis. When this easterly wind blows, Oset Tlomim Tlomim Bayam. It blows so strong that it basically makes furrows. Tlomim. It makes furrows in the yam. In other words, it blows so hard that it causes the waters to be very, very, very active. More questions. It says, really? It makes the waters so active? This is like a stormy type of wind? Amalei Rabba said to Rabbi Yehuda, if that were correct, Ihachi, then how do you explain the following pasuk in Yonah, where it says, Hainu Dichsiv, how do you explain, Vatach HaShemesh, it says the sun bore down on Rosh Yonah, on the head of Yonah, Vayisalaf, and he fainted. So how do you explain that? If this is such a stormy type of a wind, it would wake you up. It wouldn't make you go to sleep. A very hot wind makes you go to sleep. But a stormy, cold type of rainy wind, that wouldn't make you go to sleep. So how do you understand that? So therefore, Rabbi says, I disagree with you, Rabbi Yehuda. And Elo Amar Rabbi, Rabbi tells us, Bishah Shemin HaShevis, when this wind blows, Mashtekes Kol Haruchos Miponeah, when this easterly wind blows, it basically stops all the other winds from having any effect. The other winds sometimes have a positive effect. And this easterly wind, when it blows, it's Mishasekes Kol Haruchos Miponeah. It stops every other wind from having any benefit, as Rashi says. Keshimin HaShevis, when this easterly wind blows, Bishas HaChom Hi Chama Ma'od. It's a very, very hot, dry wind. And it destroys or it stops the coolness of all the other winds, and therefore the kachshina kosev likrosa charishes. That's why it's called charishes. It silences. It makes cheresh all the other winds. And in fact, the Gemara says v'hainu dichsib. Now we can understand what this pasuk in Iyov means. The pasuk in Iyov says asher bigodecha chamim. Your clothing will be very hot. Bihashkit eretz midarom, at the time when the land is quieted from the south. Now, what does that mean when it's quieted from the south? It means that there's a wind coming from the south that normally would be very, very strong. And this easterly wind quieted it. This hot easterly wind was able to go overcome this southern wind. So Amar Rav Tachlifa by Rav Chista. Amar Rav Chista, Rav Tachlifa was the son of Rav Chista, said the name of his father, he said the name of Rav Chista. Emosai begodecha chamim, when will your clothing become so hot? Bishor shehishkit eretz midarom. When it goes and it heats up, so to say, the cooler wind that normally comes from the south, it nullifies that cool wind and it still makes it very, very hot. Shebishor shemin hashemes. When this easterly wind blows, mashtekes kol haruchos miponeah. It has the power, as we just said before, to go and, so to say, be silencing all the other winds. And it stops all the other winds from having any benefit, any coolness, any positive effect. It's such a hot and strong wind, it nullifies any of the other cooler winds. Continuing in this discussion, Rav Huna and Rav Chista v'yasvei, both these two great Amorayim, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, were sitting and learning together. And they see passing by, Cholif v'ozul Geneva alayu. A great Talmud Chacham by the name of Geneva passes them by. And one of them, we don't know whether it's Rav Huna saying to Rav Chista, Rav Chista saying to Rav Huna, Amachad l'chabre, let's stand up. Nekomi kamei, debar oryanu. Let us stand up in front of this Talmud Chacham, Geneva, because he's a big Talmud Chacham, debar oryanu. He's a big Baal Halacha. He's a very big Talmud Chacham, so we should stand up in front of him. The other one said, however, Amar le'idach, whether it was Rav Huna who originally said to Rav Chista, now Rav Chista responds, or was Rav Chista really said to Rav Huna, and now Rav Huna responds in the following way. And we had this early in the Masechta. You want us to stand up in front of this guy? Mikamei palgor nekom. We should stand up in front of a quarrelsome guy, a troublesome guy. Palgor, Rashi tells us, is Baal Meriva. He is always getting into quarrels. He's always getting into fights with people. And we had a Maisa Shoya early in the Masechta. Shoya Salo Meriva im Mar Ukva Shoya Ab Basted. Kidamin and Perikamon and Daf Zayin Omen Aleph. Where there, Mar Ukva was complaining that this person, who it turns out was Geneva, was bothering him so much that he wanted to know, am I allowed to be maushed? Am I allowed to go and tattle to the government about him because he's driving me crazy? In other words, he was causing me so much fights. Why? We don't know. The Gemara doesn't go and discuss why Geneva and Marukva were at each other's throats. But the bottom line is, they weren't getting along well. And Marukvet said, these people, meaning Geneva, are starting up with me, and I have the ability to turn them over to the Malchus, and this was Geneva. So that's a Bar Palgah. He's a guy who gets into fights. So therefore, either Rav Huna or Rav Chisda said to the other one, why should we stand up in front of such a person? No, meanwhile, Geneva comes over. Adachi, while they're having this discussion, also Iyu, Ligabayu. Geneva comes over to them and says, Amalo, he says to the Tzudamidi Chacham, Rav Huna or Rav Chisda, no, but my Askitu, what are you learning? I'll come and join you. So Amalei, he told him, Ruchos, we're learning this Gemara about the Ruchos, about these winds. So along comes Geneva, he's a big Talmud Chacham. Amalu, he says to them, Hachi, Amar Ruchanan Bar Rava, Amar Rav. This is what Ruchanan Bar Rava said in the name of Rav, that there are Dalid Ruchos, there are the four winds, north, south, east, and west, Menashos V'chol Yom, that blow every day. And the north wind blows with every one of them. The others all blow by themselves, plus the north wind. Because if it wasn't so that the north wind also blowed with them, Shomale Cain, if it wasn't for the fact that the north wind is modifying or ameliorating somewhat the other winds, the world would not be able to subsist even for 1 hour without the tempering benefits of the north wind. The Ruach Dromis Koshmikula, and the toughest of all the winds is the southern wind. Vilmole ben Nates Mahmida, and it wasn't for the fact that this angel, Ben Nates, Rashi tells us, is the name of an angel. Malach Ha'osui Kinates, he's a Malach that is like a hawk that has big wings, and if it wasn't for this Malach that's Mahmida, Rashi says, Biknofov, it pulls up its wings and it makes the wind stand, it makes the wind stop, it's a barrier to the wind. If it wasn't for this Malach that stops this very, very harsh southern wind from blowing, Machareves kol olam kulo miponel, it would destroy everything in its path, in its way. And therefore, Shenemar, this is based upon the Pasuk in Iyov, Hami binosucha yaver nates, yifroz kinofov l'seimon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Iyov, what, you think that you're doing anything? It's your chachma, your bina, that is making the nates, this malach, the analogy for this hawk, that to open and spread its wings, Yifros kinof of Letemon, that it goes and spreads its wing to the south and blocks this wind. What, you think you do that? That's all for me. It's everything. I run the whole world. Don't question me. Okay. Mark continues and says, another ma'isur, Rava, Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak, Havu Yaseh. One time, Rava and Rav Nachman and Yitzchak were sitting together, again, learning together. And Havi Cholav Yozel, Rav Nachman, Bar Yaakov. And along by comes Rav Nachman, Bar Yaakov. Don't get the names mixed up. Rava and Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak are sitting and learning, and passing by is Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, but they don't realize it's Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov because the Yosef Begur Harka de Dava. He's riding in a golden type of an agola, of a wagon, of a carriage of some sort. As Rashi tells us, Gur Harka is an agola, a wagon. Asuya Kishida, it's like some sort of a chest. Umanhigin Basarm, and officers are carrying it. It's a chush of a people ride in such a carriage. And on top of it, Uparis Alei, spread out on top of it, is Sarbala de Karsi. There is, Rashi says, Sarbala de Karsi, Tseva Tcheles Doma de Karsi. There's some sort of a cloak or a cloth or some sort of a curtain that's on top of it that is the color of Tcheles, a bluish color. Fine. Now, Rava realizes this is a very chash of a person. He thinks it's from the Reish Galusa's house, and Rava needs to curry favor with the Reish Galusa, so he gets up to go and greet this member of the Reish Galusa's house. Rava Ozel Agabei. However, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Lo Ozel Agabei. He said, I don't have to go trouble myself to go and greet this person. Let him come to me. Why? Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, Omar, Dilma Me'in Shedvei Reish Galusa Nidu. This is probably somebody that's coming from the house of the Reish Galusa. Now, Rava, he's the Rav in the town, right? He needs to curry favor with the government. So Rava Tzarech Lo, he has to always have good relations with the local government. So therefore, he has to go to them. But I don't need them. Analo Tzrichna Lohu, I don't need the Reish Galusa. Rashi says, because he himself was a member of the Reish Galusa. According to Rashi, this Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was a son-in-law of the Reish Galusa. He says, I don't need to curry favor with them. I'm part of the family already. Tosus doesn't like this. Tosus says, in fact, Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov was the one who was from the Reish Galusa's family, not like Rashi says, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. And in fact, the reason why Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak didn't feel he needed to go, because he was very wealthy. He says, I take care of myself. I don't need their favors. If I need to buy something, I'll buy it myself. I don't need their favors. In any event, Rava, who needed the Reish Galusa, went up to go to say hello. However, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who didn't need them, I know, so he didn't get up to go. However, once Rava goes there, and out comes Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, the great Amora, the great Talmud Chacham. Rav Nachman bar Yaakov comes out. So now, Kidechozer, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, Hava, when Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok sees that it's Rav Nachman bar Yaakov that was riding in the carriage, Ozul Gabay. So he quickly gets up to go and greet him. When he goes to greet him, Gale Lidare, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, is so hot because of this wind that's blowing, so he has to roll up his sleeves, so to say. Gale Lidare. As Rashi says, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov reveals, he unravels his sleeve, Lidare, to his arm, because Shoyse Ruach Mizrochis Min Hashevis, because the eastern wind was blowing, V'huchamlo, and made him very, very hot. And Rav Nachman bar Yaakov said, Omar, Shadya Noshiv. Rashi explains Shadya Noshiv. Hashida Min Hashevis. He said that the Shidya was the wagon, the Agola, is being blown by this very, very hot wind. Tosus has a different explanation. Tosus says that this wind was called Shadya. The name of the wind was Shadya. Tosus tells us what each wind is called. He says, the Ruach Dromis Shmo Shadya, Kidama Biyaruch. And he says, these are the Lashonos of the four winds. Yeshlam Shemos, Ruach Mizrachis is Shuta, Ruach Maravis is Urya, Ruach Zephonis is Istana, and Ruach Dromis is Shadja. Okay, so that's what it means. Shadja Noshev, the southern wind is blowing, and that's very, very hot. Okay. Mark continues, says, I'm a Rabba. Rabba says, Hochi my Rab, this is the opinion of Rab. This wind will cause lots of terrible things to happen. Number one, Isha my Pelispo. It causes Rachman Luslan, women to go and be miscarrying. Shmuel Amar, Afilu Margulis Shabiyam, even the pearls that are in the deep sea, Markevisbo, they will be destroyed, they'll rot from this wind, it's so hot. And Rav Yochanan Amar, Afilu Shichva Zera Shabay Isha Misrachas, even the Zera from her husband that's inside of her, inside her uterus, so that Zera will go and be Misrachas, it will rot because of this hot wind. Now, normally, Zera is not viable after 72 hours, so it means in the first 72 hours, it makes the Zera no longer viable. It's Misrachas. So that's all because of this eastern wind. It causes such damage. Furthermore, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Ushloshta Mikra Echadarshu, both Rav, who said the Isha Mapelisbo, and Shmuel, who said that the Margolis Shabayam is Markevisbo, and Rav Yochanan, who said that the Shichba Zerish, Bibay Isha Misrachas, all of them learned out their idea from the same pasuk. Ushlosha mikra echadarshu. This is the pasuk. It's a pasuk also from Hosea, and it tells us the whole pasuk is kihu bein achim yafri yavo kodim ruach Hashem mi midbar ole v'yevosh mikoro v'yechrav mayano hu yishse otzar kol kli chemda. Now let's darshan this. I just read you the Vagomer. It's interesting. Is this another example of the Vagomer is the critical part? We're going to be darshan now most of the Vagomer and not the words that we have. We only start with the last words that we have, which is v'yevosh mikoro. What does that mean? Yevosh mikoro, zu mikoro shalisha. That's where Rab got the idea that a woman will miscarry, that this wind will cause the womb, the uterus, to dry up. Yevosh mikoro. The makor is another word for the uterus, the rechem. Okay. Zumakorishalisha, that's the source, the womb, the uterus of a woman. And then the next words, which are the Vagomer, the Yecharav Mayano, its fountain will dry up, the Mayan, the spring will dry up, Zeshichva Zera Shevei Isha. That's talking about the Zera that's inside the woman. So that's Rav Yochanan's opinion. And finally, the end of the Pasuk, Hu Yishse Otsar, called Klechemda, that's a reference to what Shmuel said, Margoli Shebiyah, Markevis Bo, Zu Margoli is Shebiyah. So they each use the same pasuk from Hosea to bring about their point. Finally, the Gemara concludes and says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Odi Surohu. Odi means this, Rashi says, Hadover Hazeh, comes from Mibnei Surahu, the Daikikroi, from the Tamidei Chachamim who come from Surah, they were Medaik in the pasuk the following. The Daikikroi, they examined this pasuk, and they said, the beginning of this pasuk from Hosea, we didn't teach that yet, now we teach it. Kihu bein achim yafri. What does that mean? Mai kihu bein achim yafri. So Amar Rava, Rava tells us, afilu, and now we turn to Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Afilu shufta bekufina. Shufta, Rashi says, is a base yad. And a kufina, this is chur shebirosh hamara. This is the hole at the head of the hoe. And Yalshem Shadochuk Bein Shnei Tzidei Achar, and it's pushed in between these two sides of the hole. That's why it's called Bein Achim Shemudvokim. So this Shufta Bikufina, the handle over here that's inserted into the hole of the hole, this eastern wind will blow so hard that Shufta Bikufina Demora Rafia will loosen up this handle that goes inside the space for the handle to go into the hole. This wind is so strong, it loosens this up. Furthermore, Rabbi Yosef Amar, Afilu Sichsa, even a peg, a yosed, bidafna, in a wall, Raphael will become loosened over here. Rashi says, Sichna bidafna means yosed shebidofen. It means the peg in the wall will become loosened. As Rashi explains in Raphael, Semis yavesh machmas hachom virofa. It will become dried up because of the heat, it will shrink, and therefore it will become weak, it will become loose. And finally, we conclude this beautiful perek, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he says, Omar, Afilu kanya, even a reed, bekufsa, in a basket. Rashi, there's a misprint in Rashi. It says Tanya Bekufsa. It means it should be, it's a misprint. It should be Kanya Bekufsa, which means a kana, a reed, a orug bekvifa, which is woven into the basket. Raphia will become weakened. In other words, this wind, this easterly wind, is so strong, it can go and basically ruin almost anything. With this, we conclude the beautiful third perek, Hadron Alecha Kol Aget, which we said was really called Get. Hadron Alecha Kol Aget, Hadron Alecha Kol Aget. Yitz Hashem, tomorrow we are discussed to begin the beautiful fourth perek in Gittin. Have a wonderful day.